Okay, now we're ready.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today is June the 4th, and it is 1:04 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards? Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present. I did hear from Congresswoman Edwards that she would probably not be able to attend today. Next on, so we do have a quorum. Next on the agenda is prayer, and I've asked Congressman Walker to say a prayer for us today.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day, and thank you for all of the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon our great nation. Lord, I just ask that you be with us as with this pandemic. Make responsible decisions. And Lord, just help this world heal from this and move past it. Please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Congresswoman Stabler, Whitehorn.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I've reviewed the minutes and I move to approve the minutes from May 20th.
Have a motion for the minutes. Is there a second yet? Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All right, minutes are approved. Next on the agenda is inauguration, and we are now down to the absolute. So I sent you all some correspondence. Yes.
Second speaker. Sorry to interrupt, but the next on the agenda is payables. I thought I saw some in our packet.
I think that those payables, Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there was anything that needed to come through committee. They were just copied to you so you could review them.
Okay, thank you. I understand.
They're all small payables. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. So, so for the inauguration, as I sent a memo out to everybody, been trying to come up with some solutions with the casino. I also, so we've been working on different variations of how we might be able to achieve this. Because they're not having concerts at this time, we would have the availability of the event center, which we could, which is plenty of room to space out attendees. At the same time, I've also communicated with the members-elect just to get their opinion on what they think. And so I wanted to present that to you all as well and let you know that the three new ones also felt like that they were more comfortable going with a closed ceremony, maybe just open to immediate family and keeping it as simple as that. So it's up to this committee to decide how we're going to do this. We've got the blankets on order, the plaques on order. We've got singers lined up. With the singers, I reached out to Congressman Big Horse, and he reached out to his family, and they said as long as they control who's singing, they had no problem, and there may even just be two of them, but they could manage for us to have songs that day. So I appreciated that from them. And otherwise, I guess it's down to, you know, if we're going to provide food, that means we're going to have people sitting next to each other. If we have the ceremony open, then we've got different people sitting next to each other. Maybe if we could keep it small and just let some immediate family come for each member, we could spread it out. And maybe just eliminate having food. Just have the ceremony. What do you all think, or what are your thoughts on it?
Madam Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In light of the last 48 hours of development with exposure to COVID-19 and everything that's going on with the nation, I would be much more comfortable with a more dressed up electronic swearing in ceremony. I have done a little bit of research to see some city councils that have had to do this throughout the nation. It's unfortunate, but at this time, I don't know that I would support making plans to have a maximum exposure event. I don't think that's wise. I don't think that's a good idea. So I would almost be in favor of a much more private ceremony where the members elect can have their family at the home if they choose. They Zoom in. The Zooming is broadcast so that anybody in the nation can sign in and be a part of the festivities of that day, but through a electronic means. And then, again, I think I've kind of said this before, but later on when we have a little bit more assurance that things are safe, we have some type of a celebration for those individuals or those members. But especially in light of the last couple of days, I'm not comfortable moving forward with a plan for a celebration that invites a large crowd together.
I appreciate those comments. You know, our kids had to do this for graduations. We've had several things that have had to go this way, so I think we're just in lining up behind them now.
Chairwoman Stabler, there has been three individuals that have entered the call. I know one of them is Congresswoman Goodfox, but I would like to identify the other two to see if they may be a couple of the newly elected members.
I don't know if we sent the link to them, but we can and get them on the call if we want to.
I have actually sent the link to them.
Okay, good.
But if you have called in on a cell phone, could you please identify yourself?
Yeah, this is Maker.
Jim Littleton.
Okay. All right, I think I have them all identified. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did anyone else have any feelings they wanted to express about holding it as a private ceremony?
Congresswoman Stabler. Okay.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Yeah, this last 48 hours has definitely upended what seemed like getting back to some normalcy. And I've expressed this before. I just hate for especially the newly elected members to not experience that inauguration day. It's really cool. I think we can pull off a basically immediate family in a bigger space if we wanted to do that. That still creates a bunch of interaction, and the Zoom deal, or you know, doing it remotely,
start now for sessions. But it will be that day, July the 11th at 3 p.m. I think was the time we set. Have to verify that with the clerk. And so we're hoping to have everybody online for that meeting. But for the swearing in itself, I'm thinking too of the crew to be able to do it electronically and stuff, from house to house. I don't know. It's possible. It's all doable. Let's just work with the different members, I guess, and see how they would, if they'd rather have it at their home or if they'd rather come to a venue.
Chairwoman Stabler?
Yes, Speaker.
Speaker Tillman, thank you. I'm sitting here wondering, have we attempted to talk to Dr. Shaw, the medical experts over there, say if we wanted to have it in the old council chambers? And kind of like Congressman-elect Keene is saying, maybe you could bring in one family at a time. Maybe you could have Chief Justice on a big screen. But maybe consult with him and ask him if that was something that we wanted to do, what would be the best way possible to accomplish that? As you all know, we're in many places. I was up at the clinic the other day, and they're all in gowns and masks. And if that was what he would recommend, we could still, contain any sort of risks and diminish the percentage of a risk happening. But still, yet it could be in those council chambers just as an option. And I'm sure he would work with this and maybe have some recommendations to where, if your members chose to, they could go that route. If not, maybe they could do it electronically. I'm just trying to be sympathetic to the new members because it is an exciting time and this happens in their lives. But unfortunately, it is what it is. But I think there's a way we could do it in a very small, small ceremony. And like you're talking about, you went to graduation. I know there was a graduation the other day in Winona with 11 seniors, and they did it in their gym. Where did they do it? At the softball field. Everybody mm-hmm. was spaced out. So, I mean, there's options out there other than, I think, just going electronically. Mm-hmm. But that's up to this committee. I'm not on that committee and just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that if we did it one member at a time, and maybe, like I said, allow them to go ahead and bring their immediate family, as long as there's enough space to accommodate that, could bring them in with a half hour separation or something like that, you know. But I can talk to Dr. Shaw, and we could work out the logistics of doing it that way if we just all can agree today that we will have to have some sort of a electronic presentation that we'll record, of course, and take photographs and such, and then provide for maybe a reception at a time when we can do that.
Madam Chair?
Stabler?
Madam Chair? Okay,
who's that?
This is Maker.
Oh, Congressman Maker, go ahead, please.
Okay, now, this is what we did when we swore in when I joined the Army. We had everybody in the same place, but since there's only six new people swearing in, we could be in the same room when everybody's swearing at the same time and just say your name and, you know, what you have to say instead of, you know, when they say, I, you know, state your name, and just do, everybody can do it all at one time in the same room. That's that one option. That's how we did it when we joined the Army. We had about 20 guys doing the oath all at the same time. Anyway, that's okay. Just my input.
Okay, thank you. Someone else spoke.
Yeah, this is Jody. Thank you,
yes,
for sending
ahead,
us the invite. I think I agree with Mr. Maker, Congressman Maker. I think I was considering what if we did it all at the same time and maybe just let the, the newly elected maybe in the tribal court area and have the Chief Justice do it, whether it's via electronic or whatever, and we do it all at the same time, and maybe you limit the amount of our family members that could attend, like saying you can have so many invites or something of that nature after we talk to Dr. Shaw. But I just wanted to express that I'm open to anything that your committee agrees upon. I've talked to my family, and I think we're in agreement with just being safe, and so whatever you recommend, we'll follow.
Okay, thank you. I think that if we try to have all elected members there and some immediate family, that we're starting to get into a crowd situation again. So I'm more in favor of having an individual ceremony for each member. And if we can, we could have it, I still think we could have it at the same place and just have each member show up at a different time slot with their family. And like I said, record and take pictures and, you know, or even go ahead and live stream it. But we could do it almost.
Congresswoman Stabler, this is Shanna again.
Yes, Barb.
You and I had talked at one point about the possibility of having it on the portico and everybody could kind of stay in the parking area and doing it one at a time in that portico area in front of the old council chambers, and that would be able to isolate everybody, but everybody still have their moment. And we could, and I've talked to Dawn, and if we did that, she does have the speaker system and the equipment to be able to video that and do everything that we would need to do as far as that goes as well. So that is another option that would be available.
Yes, that's one that I presented to the committee and to the new members. Yes, Congressman Walker.
That's what keeps going through my mind is somehow, maybe it could be extremely hot. It's July 11th. You could really sit there in your car or vehicle in the air conditioning and go up there under the portico and still on the campus, right there in our original, you know, the chambers, or to be the chambers. But that to me, that scenario is what keeps going through my head right there.
Okay. But
at this point, that's what I support, and it's optional. If you don't, you know, like Congressman Potts or anyone else, if you choose not to be there, that's your decision, and it's a responsible decision.
Yeah, I think right now we're just talking about just the elected members would in attendance.
And I want to take that a step further. I think going to a casino is not something that I'm going to change my mind about being in favor of. I think we need to remove the casino off the table.
Okay. So we can narrow it down to chambers or out in front of the chambers. Your immediate family. And we'd still do it just one person at a time, is my thought. I'd like to have, you know, the drum and all kinds of things, but I just think that we're really crossing some lines there, maybe.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll go back one more time, and this will be my last attempt. We did the same thing with Election Day. We said everybody can police themselves. We had variations of social distancing. We had variations of following guidelines. Every attempt was made to do this one way. And that option, we all did our best, but the end result is still the events of the last 48 hours. And I think that no matter how we go with an in-person option, you were exposing risk. And I think personally, we have a responsibility to mitigate that risk as best we can. And I think the Congress has said at this point, it's not safe for us to be able to meet in session in person. We're meeting electronically later that day. I don't know why we would then just change course and say, but earlier in the day, we can let families gather or encourage families to gather and then potentially expose other individuals that are responsible for swearing in, potentially expose congressional staff who's responsible for collecting signatures for the clerk of the Supreme Court. Those documents have to be signed. I mean, there are any number of potential exposure points that we're not comfortable with later on in the afternoon that we're just trying to make exceptions to for the morning. So I'll voice just one more time. I think an electronic option is the safest option. I think it's the most responsible option. I get it. I understand. I want members of Congress elect to be able to celebrate together as a family. I want us all to be able to celebrate as a family. But I think the responsible choice right now is to have a completely electronic event, do it as best we can, plan it, broadcast it for the entire nation to enjoy, and take protocols and procedures, put them in place to protect everyone as responsibly as we can right now. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Shanna. Anyone else have anything they'd like to say? Okay, so what...
Chair, I got something. This is Maker again.
Congressman Maker.
Okay, we all know what's going on with the pandemic. And we all want a really beautiful ceremony, especially for the three new people, the three new congressmen. But I still think we can do this in the same room with the six members spread out far enough. We can all take the oath at the same time from the Chief Justice up there at the podium. And then after we go out of the room, we can be with your families, of course, with your mask and all the precautions. But at least everybody could be in the same room if you had a room space enough for, 6 foot apart, 10 foot apart, whatever. And that's the last thing I got. I'm agreeable with anything y'all come up with. Okay. Out here.
Thank you. Well, I will confer with Dr. Shaw. We've had a little bit of conversation with him, but I will confer with him specifically on this point. And I will.
Oh, can I speak up real quick?
Sure.
This is Billy Keene. I think preferably because they say the transmission, I think we should really try to have it outside. Like if we're going to choose the council chambers, it should be, because they say it's a lot harder to transmit it. It's safer to do things outdoors. I know it'll be hot, but I just wanted to add that in.
Okay. Thank you. And that was a couple of the proposals I put out there was to have it outside. And that was the reason for it. Like I said, I can confer with him and then we will. So right now we could go ahead and decide. I guess the only other decision is to have it up out in front of the chambers or within the chambers, one or the other, or have each individual at home. Now, I'm still of the opinion that we go ahead and just do individual ceremonies. The justice may be on the screen. I don't know. But I think we could arrange something nice so that it would be pleasant and that we could take precautions. For one thing, we can all be tested the day before at the clinic to make sure that we have no one that shows any contagion that day. So there's some little things we could come up with to make a nice ceremony. We'll eliminate the casino, we'll eliminate the disbursement of food, and we'll go with individual presentations, if that's okay with the committee.
Second Speaker Stabler, this is the clerk.
Yes.
Clerk. Another safety caution that could be taken if we had it outside in the portico would be that we could work with executive and tribal works and see if we could block off that parking area, and we could have a conversation with OMPD to see if we could have some presence there to enforce that we do the social distancing and that we set aside spaces that exemplify that social distancing. There are ways to distance everybody so that we can make that happen. I have seen a couple of military graduations where the graduates were set up, their chairs were all social distanced apart, they were staggered. the families were not allowed there. They had to view it from online, but then I've seen some others where the families were in vehicles that were separate from everything that was happening with the actual graduates or candidates that were taking place. So there are additional precautions that can be done. We just need to iron those out.
Sure.
Congresswoman Stapler, this is Pam Shaw.
Yes, Michelle, go ahead.
Well, first I want to say thank you to the committee for considering all of the other options, and I think it's very prudent at this time to do something other than a large gathering, of course. I'm perfectly happy and fine with whatever this committee decides.
Thank you. Okay. There's no other comments on that, then we'll go ahead and pursue a ceremony on campus for individuals, just the elected six, and set up the protocols necessary to provide safety for them and their immediate families, whether their immediate families are allowed to attend or not. Like I said, I'll confer with Dr. Shaw and then lay out some new plans and send them out to everyone. And we'll go with that.
That's my question.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, if not, then we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. And if I remember right, it is the presentation from a speaker for the update on the on his meeting. Speaker, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, Speaker Tillman, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, we went up, I believe it was, I can't remember the date, last week, and the clerk and I were the only ones there, along with Chief Standing Bear, Assistant Chief Redcorn, and we had Tasha Fox and Jim Littleton on the dial-in. It was a very, I think, the motion said for a diplomatic remedy. And I believe we took a very positive step in the direction of healing some wounds, if you will, and better cooperation, better communication, better conduct. More professionalism. We all agreed that things get a little tense. As you know, the last session was strictly remote, but there were some, we're going to continue to meet and discuss the line item shifting and the content of the paradox, the microy, and also I wanted to get with the committee that, you know, the executive branch would love to see the report from Kroll and Dunleavy, but we never made the motion or had the vote to be able to make that become a public document. And again, that's $30,000 worth of lawyer fees that we have sitting in a report. Chief Standing Bear wanted to see it, and then at one point he kind of changed his mind and thought, well, maybe the Trey, our legal analyst, could create a summary of points from the document of Kroll and Dunleavy and submit that to the executive branch for their review so they could respond more accurately, more appropriately, because they do not know what's contained in there. They have an idea, but the report itself really highlights and gives a, you know, our opinion of what we wanted and what our frustrations are. So I would ask the committee to either, you know, at some point to make the document from Kroll and Dunleavy a public document, or request, I don't know if you do it with a motion, however you get Mr. Gill to be able to draft up maybe a summary of the content of the report and submit that to the executive branch for their review, and then we could meet with them again. So, but it was very positive. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and this is another, you know, I was very gracious that the chief took time out in his day, and I let him know that, because, you know, he's a very busy person right now trying to figure out all the above, which we all know what that is. So we're going to continue the diplomatic remedy. It was a good step in the right direction for a first quick meeting. I think we met for about 45 minutes, and it was just the clerk and myself. But glad to share that with the committee now. We'll continue to go forward with that, but I think they need some sort of either the summary from Mr. Gill or make that document a public document so that they could review it. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Speaker. Any comment from the committee on how they'd like to proceed?
Walker.
Congressman Walker.
So, you guys can please talk on my phone. So, I expressed myself at one point that, yeah, we did spend $30,000 and have the people's money, right? And let's get it out there, people to view. Problem is, and I think it lies in the Open Records Act, I believe, but it states, I'll read it, but it's pulled up. Congressional reclassification of records is the body of Congress may reclassify as public any document marked as protected, confidential, proprietary, or non-public after providing notice and an opportunity to be heard to interested parties in executive session and upon an affirmative vote of the majority of the members of Congress in a regular or special session, except for protected records contained in, you're not going to cite the code, but I see that as a bit problematic as far as this committee deciding to reclassify that as a public record, and especially with the fact of any potential affected parties, you know, being able to discuss it in executive session. So without an opportunity for affected parties, and that may be debated on who the affected parties are, but prior to giving affected parties the opportunity in executive session to discuss what's in the report after reviewing it, I think just throwing the report out there right now is not something I'm in favor of for those reasons.
Second Speaker Stabler Whitehorn. Hello.
Sorry, I was muted and I couldn't find the mouse.
Okay. The meeting went away. Well, I think that this committee in the future, when you call another meeting, could have an executive session and invite the chief's office to review that document in an executive session. That way, it's still a protected record, and then when Congress meets again, if they so choose, they could make the document be a public document if they feel like that's necessary. But this body has every ability to share that with the executive in an executive session is my take on it. And then that way they could do it in executive session and it would still be a protected record and they could have a copy of it. So there is a way to do that without having to actually meet in session and declare the record to be a public record. So that's just my two cents, and then that way everybody would be on the same page with what the document said. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would agree with Congressman Whitehorn. Not that that's a way around that provision in Osage law, but there's nothing that says that the document cannot be shared in an executive session with members of the executive, as long as that is held confidential with the parties that are in executive session. Additionally, this committee made the recommendation for it to become a public document. So I don't see the most immediate time we're going to be moving forward with a large group setting or a session where that can be made public. So I would be open to putting an executive session on the board with some members of the executive branch so that they can view this report, but I would also be open to seeing what Mr. Gill can put together with regard to what we view as potential violations of Osage law, because the report doesn't necessarily, in my mind, speak to or make clear what those points of interest are. What it does speak to is the validity of that. So I think some clarification from legal counsel to say, here are the issues or here are the points of interest that need to be discussed. And then that couples with this support documentation from the Crowe and Dunleavy report that bolsters what we need to be talking about. And I think that is very clear, the bolstering, but what we're actually looking to have remedied may need to be clarified by Mr. Gill, and I would be open to seeing that at maybe our next Congressional Affairs Committee meetings.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else on the committee? I think that's for all three of you now. So, well, we could do that. We could go ahead and put it on the next CA committee. I think we'll probably have to have one before the end of the month. I'll just have to keep you all posted. All right. So if that's all we have on that item, then we'll move down to a first look at some new policy. Congressman Potts?
Madam Chair, is it the will of the committee to have legal counsel draft a summary and clarification of what needs to be discussed in that meeting?
Oh, I thought you wanted to just put it on the next CA meeting for an executive session to discuss the items of the letter. So you're wanting a summary from the council to go along with that. How do the other members feel?
Congressman Whitehorn.
Congressman Walker, I think first. Thank you.
Well, a legal opinion from Mr. Gill would be helpful. I'm thinking more, are we going to schedule an executive session and during the executive session say, here's the report and take a look at it? Or I guess what I'm getting at is I would be interested in Mr. Gill's legal opinion on who the interested parties are and then schedule an executive session and distribute the report to the interested parties so we can then discuss with the interested parties what's contained in the report during the executive session. That's what I think.
Congressman Potts, did that not fall kind of in line with what you were saying, or just wanting a separate document created?
No, Madam Chair, thank you. I think that Congressman Walker is on the right path. I think if the plan is to make this document public, which I think we should, we're going to need clarification on who the interested parties are, but that's with regard to simply making this document public. I think for the purposes of diplomacy and moving forward to find a remedy, it would be helpful to have legal counsel draft a document that says here are the points of interest, and here's the information from the Crowe and Dunleavy report that we find supports our argument. So that's kind of where it's going. But yes, I agree with Congressman Walker. If there is hesitation from Congressman Walker on whether or not to move forward with making the Crowe and Dunleavy report a public document with regard to who the interested parties are, yes, I think that would need to be requested from legal counsel.
Okay, so I will, I'll let Congresswoman Whitehorn speak for it first, and then I'll summarize. Congresswoman Whitehorn, you had some comments?
No, I'm just in agreement with the route that Congressman Walker and Congressman Potts are taking. I think that the summary does, especially since that's something that the chief asked for through the speaker, I think that that needs to happen along with the discussion in executive session and the document made public. So I'm in agreement with all of that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so I will. We will reach out to counsel and ask him to prepare those documents. We will create an agenda for another CA meeting, and I'll keep you all posted. Okay? Sure. All right. Yes, Congressman Potts.
I would like to make a motion to direct the legal counsel to draft and prepare a summary of potential violations of Osage law with supporting documentation, and to include a narrative from Crowe and Dunleavy report, from the Crowe and Dunleavy report, in the support documents.
All right. Did you send that motion to the clerk by any chance? Getting ready to?
Which, Dana or Shanna?
I think Shanna is our clerk.
Done.
All right, thank you. I have a motion on the floor. Is there a second? Motion fails for lack of a second, but we will proceed with what the committee actually already agreed to, so I don't know why there was an issue there, but okay. So we will now move on to a first look at some new Osage Nation HR policies that have been delivered. I do want to say thank you to Congresswoman Whitehorn. She already did a markup on one of them. And so if you will pull up you got an email from Dana today that I think resent them to everyone again. And they're all listed there. And I'm trying to get to it now. I don't know what I did with it because I had it open. Dana, didn't you just send that this morning?
It was sent at 9:24, second speaker.
Thank you. There it is. All right, so the first one on that list is a compensation policy. On its base and its merit, I liked the policy. Want to hear from the rest of the committee of what you thought of it. It would have to be edited, so we're not ready to move forward with the policies yet, just to discuss them as far as adopting them for Congress. I thought it gave some clear layout for directors. All of these policies that came over, something that's always been hard for directors because there was no specifics on how to work them. So
second speaker, this is Whitehorn. Is it my phone that keeps fading out? I'm not hearing.
I don't see you. I don't even see you on the screen.
I'm losing connection.
I'm not on the screen. I'm on my cell phone, but blank out. I'm just wondering if I'm the only one that's having issues on my end or if other people are.
I'm having issues on my end, but I think it's because we have so many speakers open. And so I've been trying to mute mine when I'm not talking. But right now I only see Congressman Potts. So is Congressman Walker, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm on the phone, but yeah, it was
okay.
It's cutting out like we're having bad cell phone service or something.
Okay. All right. So I was opening it up for any discussion from anyone on this policy.
Second Speaker Whitehorn.
Yes, go ahead.
I read this policy, and I'm in agreement. I think it's a good policy. All I see that it needs to do is to conform with some language where it might reference directors or, and I didn't see too many places in this one that it did reference directors. Yes, it did. Supervisors, directors. I think that we can just accept this policy as the way it's presented as part of the policy that the congressional branch follows upon my review. Because it does say supervisors/directors. That's how it's presented. So I think that language conforms to what we do because the second speaker is the supervisor of the employees of the legislative branch. So okay. I didn't see an issue with any of the language here on the first policy you're reviewing.
Okay. Congresswoman Walker.
Yeah, I appreciate Congresswoman Whitehorn taking the time to go through here and look at this. Question I have, I see where she has proposed to strike a couple bullet points on what page is that?
I think you're on a different policy, Congressman. We're on compensation and base pay adjustments.
Sorry. Where? I looked at that earlier.
Did you find it?
Got it.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm grateful for that.
Okay. All right. So then the next one on a first read, didn't hear from Congressman Potts, but take that as a sign as he didn't have any issues. The next policy we'll look at is conduct and professional standards. And again, I'm glad to see this policy. I think that it gives some clear understanding for directors. That wasn't there before.
Second Speaker, Whitehorn.
Congressman Whitehorn, go ahead.
Yeah, my review of this policy, I thought it was a good policy and one that Congress doesn't need to address, that it'll just be implemented into the nation's policy and one our employees will follow. I didn't see any language in it that conflicted, you know, director of operations language that would conflict with our branch of government being able to follow it. So I thought it was a good policy also.
All right, good. Thank you. Anybody else on the committee have any comments? Okay. Next one is the hiring policy. And this is one that
second speaker Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman White.
I would just like to say that was a first look at it, and I know that it probably isn't going to get completed today, but that was just an initial markup, and some of the things that you see on there were just questions that I had about it, because I do believe that this policy needs to conform to legislative branch, but stay as close to the executive branch policy, because I think it is a good policy.
Yes, I also thought that, and I thought you did a good job as the first markup, converting it over for a congressional policy. Did anybody have anything else or any questions? I had one question on there, and I did clarify it with HR on the section the section on interviews. Under the procedure for selecting applicants for interview, under there, I think Congressman Walker had some comments on this policy too, but looking at that list and how you read that list, it was a little bit odd for me to try to figure out what to do with internal applicants, but I talked to HR, and this is basically kind of set up like the federal government applications are. You choose what you want to be categorized as you fill out an application. And so that helped me out there. That was really the only question I had on it. Anybody else have any other comments or corrections that they see? We can work on a draft, the markup, to bring it into a document useful for Congress side to adopt. Did anybody see anything else on there that they wanted to add besides what Congresswoman Whitehorn delivered? And then I believe there were some questions to address on there.
Are you still on the hire?
Yes, we're on the hire. And are you looking at Maria's markup?
Apparently not. I'm on hiring policy, which is the third attachment of four. And then I see Maria's email. And then there it is.
Yeah.
Back to that.
So she did some markups, which would be accurate. That would, you know, ours is not 90 days. Ours is 180 days. Everywhere it would say director would be Congressional Affairs Committee. Second speaker. Our stuff would, I guess, not be going through Attorney General for everything. Trying to get down to those that were questions.
Yeah, I had a lot of I don't knows with arrows pointed toward it that I just thought the committee needed to discuss, because I really, you know, it was a question in my mind, but I didn't know if it was something that needed to be totally taken out or reworked for our branch of government's purposes. And I think the first one that I see is under procedure for selecting applicants for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth solid bullet point.
Mm-hmm.
Interviews are conducted in order of preference listed above. Preference report is required to advance for the next preference level. I'm not sure that we, you know, I know we need to follow preferences, the law, and we need to fill out those reports that are later on in that, but I'm not sure if that step is actually something we need to keep in our policy. That was my question.
Okay. Yeah. And that does become a kind of a tricky problem because they're following a policy that they're requiring the reports, but we don't necessarily think that we... have to follow those priorities. I do think following the preference list is not a bad idea. It's actually helpful. And you have to remember, in that preference list, it can't be just if there's an Osage, you have to interview them. It's a qualified applicant. You look at the applicants that meet the qualifications for the position, and then you look at their categories. And then we could take them in order at that point. So I don't really have a problem with doing an order of preference from the list above.
If I may, I agree with the preference list. I think it makes it easier direction. I think the biggest question was, do we really have to follow interviews in the order of the preference list? That, you know, I know that would be protocol for executive. I mean, if we had, and knowing how, since I've been on CA, how we have maybe three applicants and maybe only one has preference, does it really matter that we... the order that we interview those three people? That was my question.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So if we had seven applicants and they all had a different category that we could go ahead and set up and interview them all at once. And I understand what HR is trying to do is they're saying take a preference with the Osage first, and if you don't find an Osage, then drop to the next category. So I guess that's the question for us.
Correct. That was my question. Do we have to follow an order there?
Yes, because it did cause us some issues with the last round of interviews. There were only a few candidates, but we had to wait. And
especially being the nature that we have to call a meeting. We have a 7-day period by our rules that we have to call our meeting. So I was thinking of all of those issues.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only going to have a handful of candidates, I don't see a problem with interviewing them all, if that's your choice. And then you would consider your Osage candidate first after that, get the interviews out of the way.
Correct.
So I can see where that might be a good one to strike.
And if we can, I'll go to my second one that was uncertain just because of Osage preference report will be part of the non-Osage personnel file and shall be a protected record under Osage law. I'm just questioning what the purpose of that is as being a part of the non-Osage personnel file. I'm unclear on that. I'm not opposed to it, but it's a question of why.
And where are you seeing that?
Excuse me. Procedures for reporting non-Osage hire. It's like on the third page, maybe?
Oh. Yeah, I see it now.
It's way down there. It's on the page.
Agree. I mean, what's up with that? I'd like to hear an explanation.
Well, I think it just gives you a good history and good documentation of why you made the selection you made. In case there is any question on how a decision was made, if you... but we could... you know, it wouldn't need to go to, it would just go to human resources. To me, it's just a good bookkeeping practice.
And then the third is right under it, the procedure for reporting a violation. I'm sure that we need to have that as part of our procedures, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think that the way that this is written probably needs much review by this committee. Mm-hmm. What all portions we do want to accept or not, or change or modify. The whole last bullet point of that section, I don't know if any of that last portion is necessary, because I think the CA committee really takes the responsibility for their hires. Does the HR department need to be held in violation of our hiring practices? That was one big question that I had on the last bullet point. So, you know, it's been difficult just being on Congress this whole time. When I've been on CA, every committee hires differently, and I just think it's very important to get a solid policy in, so each committee, as they come in every year, doesn't have to try to reinvent the wheel or see how our policy conforms to the executive policy, and it'll be written out. But this, the procedure for reporting a violation, I think needs a lot of review to see mm-hmm. what the legislative branch want to do about that, how they want to hold themselves responsible for following their own policy, because I know we've had a very difficult time following our policy. So, yes. But I think it's important that this committee does, and that's all I wanted to say about that. So mm-hmm. that was just my starting point and my biggest questions, but I think it's a good policy overall. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments they want to make regarding this policy or anything further? Otherwise, I'm just going to follow the notes that were made on this policy, and then I've made a couple of extra notes about looking at refining some procedures for us to follow as our branch. Okay, hearing none, then we'll go to the next one, or the last one, which had to do with promotions. I know I can find that again. Now I've got to go back and find that email.
I didn't get to review this last minute as far as I got.
Okay. The last one was on promotions. I don't think it was very long. And again, I think it does clean up a lot for the executive side, for directors, and helps them out. Did anyone have any issues with the wording of this one? Okay, I'm going to say that is none. We just have one policy we're going to edit for our purposes.
I really doesn't necessarily apply so much to us, especially the transfer part. But
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Yeah, so I guess the question would be, do we need to write one? And I really don't know that we need one. Okay, so we'll continue to work on the draft for the one on hiring. and the rest of them will remain as they are. Anybody else have any final comments? Otherwise, we'll be ready for adjournment.
Speaker, second speaker, Zabler Whitehorn. My question is, I guess if this committee is committed to work on this between now and then, we do know we have a 60-day window to get our own policy put in place, right?
Yes.
If we aren't going to accept that. So is it your intention to bring to maybe have that implemented and bring it back up at the next CA meeting?
I could. I'm going to have to set one anyway. So we could, okay. Since it's just one policy to work on, we can try to get that formatted and bring it forward.
Okay, then I don't think any motions are in order then, if we'll follow up on the next agenda.
Okay. All right.
Adjourn.
All right. Motion to adjourn. Second? Well, without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.